Well, hi, it's Nicole Brandon, and welcome to Hourglass Bride. I am so excited and so elated for today's guest. Today we are talking with Linda Salazar, and Linda is a hand analysis expert. And when I decided to create this show, it was my goal to bring you the very best tools and techniques and keys and secrets to unfolding love and to really living that happily ever after, and how you find that love in your heart, the relationship with yourself, the relationship with your spouse, your children, your loved ones. And so the past few years, we've had just the most incredible lineup of experts. And today's guest, I'm so excited for, because Linda really is what I would consider the cherry on the sundae. She is the pinnacle of knowing this information and how information in the palm of your hand can really express so much about you, about your heart, about your divine purpose, about the ways that you communicate. And I think it's just fascinating. And it's wonderful information for you to know about yourself, and even more incredible information to know about your spouse or your loved one or somebody that you're entering into a life with. And her background is just absolutely incredible. Linda is an in-demand speaker. She's an author. She's a certified life and relationship coach. And she really specializes in helping women to speak their truth. And she does that with confidence, and she deals with simple to complex issues and really teaches people how to be the master of their emotions so they can experience loving, authentic relationships, which is what we really all want, are loving, authentic relationships in all areas of her life, both personally and professionally. She has such a unique approach to uncovering her clients' personal relationships and communication styles, and that's what we're going to talk about today. And she helps to open the doors of understanding personal strengths and your weaknesses and how you communicate with others. She offers practical advice, and she offers direction, and she teaches you how to maximize your strength and really approaches the areas of growth in a head-on way that's nothing short of transformative. Linda was kind enough to come to my house, and she actually took imprints of my hands, and then she gave me a hand analysis reading. And she knew more about me than my own mother, than my own family. I mean, it's amazing what she was able to uncover and the way she was able to help me from there really launch into the next steps and stages in my life. Her deep knowledge of communication really comes from years of experience using scientific hand analysis. It's actually a science that gives her a unique perspective to revealing and solving all of her clients' life and relationship issues. She is the author of Awaken the Genie Within. I love that title, Awaken the Genie Within, and Parents in Love, Reclaiming Intimacy After Your Child is Born. She is also a contributing author to 101 Great Ways to Improve Your Life, featuring some of the world's leading personal experts, including my dear friend Jack Canfield, Bob Proctor, Richard Carlson, and Alan Cohen. She has been featured on KCAL Channel 9 News in Los Angeles, her hometown, as well as in Parents Magazine, Women's Faith and Spirit Magazine, and the LA Times. She's an associate faculty teacher of the American Academy of Hand Analysis, and she is a member of the International Coaching Federation. She is incredibly talented, incredibly wise, incredibly knowledgeable, and it is such a gift and such an honor to have her with us here today. So, Linda, welcome to the show.
Hi, Nicole. Thank you so much for having me, and hello to everybody listening. It's really wonderful to be here, and I'm excited to share this information with people and hope that they can get some deeper insights into themselves and their relationships and their love style and their communication style.
I love this. When many years ago, and I don't think we've actually ever had this conversation, but my mother went to somebody who read her hand, and this was when I was just a little baby. I think I was maybe 2, and my brother was just born, and whoever had read her hand had said to my mom that she was going to have 4 children. Uh-huh. And my mom said that she was so careful after that because she just had two back.
She didn't want four kids.
And she said, you have no idea. We were so careful. And ironically, years later, my brother ended up being a single dad and raising his two children. And my parents came in to help raise their grandchildren. And my brother had two children. So in the end, they actually ended up raising four children. And my mom was saying, if we knew they were our grandkids, we would have had so much more fun. She said we were so careful. But it's always been a story that stuck in my mind because it was somebody looking into someone's hand and saying, this is something I see in your life. And I always thought that was so fascinating. And so how does, first of all, what is hand analysis and how does it work? And then how did you get into it? Because it's such an amazing field. And like you said, it's a science, which I think is absolutely astounding.
It is astounding because of the fact that it is teachable, repeatable, and demonstrable. And it's a combination
of... Those are good
words. Yeah, demonstrable. Well, that's how you demonstrate things. It's a combination of ancient palmistry, present-day scientific data, and current advances, actually, in human psychology, this particular kind of hand analysis that we do, and philosophy is in there as well. And the information that we have stored in us is literally sitting in our hands, and it's all directly related to our brain processing. You know, the hands are a window into your inner world. They are an energy outlet that actively reflects the past and the present on an energetic level. And the hands are made up of two very different components that I'm reading and getting information for. One is the fingerprints, and the other is the dermatoglyphics, the skin carvings that are on your palms. And the fingers also have their dermatoglyphics, their skin carvings, but the fingerprints are created 5 months before you're born, and they never change, as anybody knows. Our fingerprints stay with us forever, and it's that soul's agenda that is craving to manifest itself in this time. And within those fingerprints is the soul's life purpose, the soul's life lesson, and something called the life school, how we perceive and view the world from our viewpoint, if you will. And then we have the rest of the hand, which is really about the personality traits, if you will, and that is looked at based on a length of a finger, the bends in the fingers, the main lines in the hands being the heart, the head, and the lifeline, and then other minor lines, as we call them, that tell us other components about a person and where their struggles are, where their challenges are, whether a person has certain innate gifts that show up as gift markings. There's a total of 17 gift markings that can appear in the hand. Not everybody has a gift marking. That doesn't mean you're not gifted. It's just with gift markings means, hey, you really need to be honoring this. And if you're not, you're going to end up with some challenges along the way that are directly related to not using that gift marking. So there's an exorbitant amount of information that allows me to truly reveal to somebody their overall nature and what they can do in their life, in their relationships, in their workplace. And I'm not the one who's going to tell you that you're going to have four kids. This work, and this is all created by somebody by the name of Richard Unger, who is the mastermind and the genius behind this. Richard has been doing this for 40 years, has read over 70,000 hands, and he wanted something that was going to be clearly repeatable, which is where we're bringing in the science. And the brain processing, the hands are a map of the neural pathways of our brain processing. That's why I have literally seen I'm going to take one example of a client that I read for that came to me 4 months after her husband dropped dead in front of her from a massive heart attack at 56 years old. 4 months later, she came to me and asked me to do a hand reading, and I got her hand prints like I did yours, Nicole. And when I saw the hands, I was still fairly new at this, and I was very confused by what I was looking at because it was like looking at the Los Angeles freeway in rush hour traffic with a 20-car pileup. I couldn't make sense of anything.
Wow.
I showed my hand mentor at the time, and she said, something has happened horrible in this woman's life, and there's chaos going on inside of her. You can't read her hands now. What happened? And I told her. She said, no, you've got to wait a year after his death before you read her hands, and you will see that a majority of these lines will disappear and everything will calm down as she calms down internally. So sure enough, 8 months later, because it was already 4 months into the passing of her husband, we did this again, and probably 50% of the lines were gone, and leaving me a map of her hands that I could actually make sense of now. And that was my first exposure of seeing how the hands absolutely correlate to what's going on inside of us on an internal level. And when I saw that, I was sold. I was sold already, but then it just took me to a new level. And then I was like, wow. And I had seen other things over the years, minor changes in people's hands. I've seen fingers straighten out when somebody has an issue about giving away their power, and we work on in coaching stepping into their power and owning their power. Their index finger, which is the power finger, over time straightens out. So it is, you know, there's no guesswork here. And that's the beautiful thing. I'm a very logical person, and I don't tend to, you know, I can be the open skeptic, if you will. And I'll try on new things as long as I can see that there's real results that people can get from it. But if I'm not seeing results, then I walk away from it. But with this, holy cow. And you asked how I got into it. Well, I got into it because I was going through a dark night of the soul for myself, and I didn't know what to do. My business was not in a place where I wanted it. I was doing relationship work with women, which is what the majority of what I do is, and I wasn't really able to move them to a place that I wanted to see them get to as quickly as I was intending for them. And there were so many blank spots, and I was also struggling in my marriage. Now, I've been married 32 years, and at the 26-year mark, 25-year mark, I was struggling, and I thought, what are we going to do here? I don't even know why I'm struggling, but I'm miserable. And I was sharing this with a friend, and she suggested this thing called hand analysis, and I thought she was out of her mind, but I also knew I had nothing, right? I mean, I want to go to a palm reader? Are you kidding me? I don't need somebody to tell me about a future that I don't know. But she said, give it a shot, and I did. And I got in touch with somebody that had a long history of reading hands, and she sent me an ink kit because she didn't live in California. And I took, with instructions, and I made prints of my hands, ink prints of my hands, shipped them back to her. She looked them over. We got on the phone, and she gave me an entire reading. And within the first 3 minutes, I was in tears because she was nailing and answering questions, internal questions that I had that I had not said out loud, that I wanted answers to, and she was giving me the answers that made sense. And she was witnessing me in a way like nobody's ever witnessed me. And then she said something to me that made me realize why I had the struggles going on in my marriage that I had going on. And then all of a sudden it was like, holy cow, I see a component in the hand called the heart line that can change everything for somebody in their relationships. And I just glommed onto this. And after the hour, I said, where do I sign up? I need to learn this. And within 2 weeks, I was in a training. And then within the year, I had gone through a year and a half, almost 2 years, all four levels, and then went into my teacher's training. And here I am teaching it and loving it like I've never loved anything else and really being able to make a difference in people's lives very quickly because I can cut my detective work in half in my coaching business with the information that I get from the hands. Now I can go running into the client or running into our session and saying, okay, we're going to start from here because I've given you your hand analysis. I know all this information. Now let's take what you know and what I know about you and move you forward and make the changes you want to make in your life and have the best relationships you can ever have in your life.
I love that. And I remember that you were saying something about that when you read someone's hand and then you go to coach them, how it just expedites it because you already have this information
right. And
a place to start. And so I think that's absolutely incredible. And so what happens when you're reading someone's hand and they're heartbroken or they're excited, like so many people that are listening to the show and their life is just about to begin, but maybe they're getting married to a man that they are deeply in love with, but yet their parents didn't have a great relationship. And so they're not really sure that they know that this is going to work or that they can communicate. Can they look at their partner's hand and learn anything about how to be in relationship with them?
Oh, absolutely. Oftentimes I'll do a couple's reading so that I can introduce to each of them their emotional style, which is determined through the heart line. And each of us do have our own emotional style. And what that means is how we want to be loved and how we give our love. And it's not necessarily the same. And then I can look at each of their life lessons and see where they're going to get triggered. And when that life lesson shows up, it's going to affect their partner because they're going to respond unconsciously to their life lesson that's happening or coming or showing up for them that they don't even know is their soul's life lesson that they came in contract with to deal with in this lifetime. And their partner has a different life lesson. And then what can happen is when they know each other's life lessons, you can so clearly see another person's struggles when you're standing on the outside looking from the outside looking in versus trying to figure it out for yourself. But when we understand that about each other, we can literally help each other and say, oh, wow, I think what's happening right now is that you're hung up in that life lesson that what people have said to me that Linda have told us about, and let me see if I can help you just kind of work through it and not be afraid of it and run from it. Then, of course, I'm also able to tell them about their life purpose, and I'm also able to talk to them about their communication style, their thinking style with their headline, because each of us have our own different thinking style. And if somebody has a gift marking that they're not using and their partner doesn't even know that this gift, innate gift exists, now that's brought to the forefront, and you're learning these things about each other that you would actually not know so easily. And even if you do understand, like, each person's emotional style, it doesn't mean that you're going to be okay with it. So, for instance, I had a couple, a woman came to me, and she was a big heart, and we'll discuss each of these heart lines before the show's over, but she was a big heart, and her husband was a hermit heart line, and he showed his love by the things that he did, by putting gas in her car, by filling up her tires, by making her breakfast in bed, and she is the big heart. And he worked a lot because that's what hermits do, and they like a lot of alone time. Well, her as a big heart, she needs a lot of affection. She needs a lot of attention. She needs somebody to hold her hand. She wants to have these beautiful, long conversations while they sit on the at the kitchen table after he's gotten home from work. And she's not recognizing that all the things he's doing for her is how he shows his love. She comes to me and says, he doesn't love me. We're on 30 years into this, and we've been to therapy, and it's not going to work, and we're going to get a divorce. And I said, no, you're not. I said, you're going to look at this man with different eyes when you and I are done. Because what she ended up doing was taking a two-hour heartline class that I teach so that she could learn about all the different heart styles, but specifically the in-depth heart style about her heart, his emotional style and her emotional style. And I said to her, you are going to appreciate every little thing he does for you, every time he puts gas in your car, every time he fills the tires up. And then you're just going to thank him and appreciate him and ask for nothing else from him. And she said, well, what about me? Where do I get my fulfillment? And I said, you will get your fulfillment, I promise you. But you've got to focus more on what you're going to give before what you need to receive. You've got to trust me on this. And as you start appreciating him, instead of whining and moaning and groaning of all the things he doesn't do for you, like talk to you for any length of time or sit with you and watch a movie and hold your hand for 2 hours on the couch at night, all it's going to do is keep pushing him away. So start focusing on all the wonderful things he does do for you. And trust me, there was a lot, because she started listing a whole lot of things that he did that were physical manifestations of how he showed his love. She literally called me back. I said, just do this for a week, and then we're going to talk about the next step. She called me back within 5 or 6 days and said, oh, my God, he's like a new man. He's asking me now if I want my feet rubbed, or if I want to sit down and watch a movie, or if we want to take a little bit more time and go out for a walk after dinner, and he's never done that before. So he was responding now to her love style. And she did explain to him what these two heart styles were about and what she understood, and apologized for not owning up or not accepting what his love was that he was doing for her. And she explained to him, you know, what her love style was. So he started honoring that. They're now 32 more years into this marriage, because it was a couple of years ago, but they're happier than they've ever been just by the heartline understanding it. That's how powerful this can be for people.
That's such a beautiful story and such a testament to how this works. I love that. I absolutely love that. And so there are four, is that what you're saying? There are four different heart styles?
Yes, there are four, and they are the passionate, the hermit, the romantic idealist, and the big heart. So everybody listening, take a look at your hands, and whether it's your left or right, it really doesn't matter, but at some point you want to look at both, because you can have either the same heart line on each hand, or you can have a different heart line on each hand. And your heart line is the main line that's, if you cup your fingers just a little bit forward, you'll see the crease a little bit better in your hands. And the heart line starts, it's at the top of the palm, starts underneath the pinky, and it travels across the hand, ending anywhere from the middle finger all the way over to the index finger. It can be curved, it can be straight. The curvier a heart line is, the more emotional you can be, the more you will show your emotions outwardly. The straighter your heart line is, the more you're going to keep your emotions to yourself and be more quiet with them and not as easily express yourself. Now, some heart lines, some people's hands have more than one heart line on them, and that's a little tricky if you don't know what you're looking at, but sometimes you can look at that heart line and it might have a split at the end and branch off, which means that you can have a couple of different heart lines there. But we're just going to look at the main four heart lines. I happen to have all four heart lines on my right hand, and all that means is I'm literally kind of this emotional investigator, you know, kind of jumping between the different heart emotions depending on who I'm with. I can kind of mold myself, but I have to be careful so that I don't give up what's true for me in the moment. Now, let's start with the passionate heart line. Go ahead.
I have a question really quick. Wait. So yeah. You can have more than one for people that are looking at their hands, and it's okay if the right and left hand are completely different.
Yes, and it's very normal. And then as you hear this, you're going to find that you can find yourself bouncing between the two heart lines you may have. And then the question is, which one are you honoring most? But we'll kind of build up to that as we hear about the various heart lines that actually exist. So that first one is the passionate. Now, for all you women listening, you may very well have a passionate heart line and actually be playing the role of the big heart, which we'll get into, but I find that 90% of the women that I describe the passionate to, they hear it, they feel it, they know it, but they're not living it. And there's a saying that Richard says over and over again in hand analysis, be your type, because that's when you're going to ultimately be your happiest. So the passionate heart line, as I said, the heart line starts underneath the pinky at the top of the hand, and the passionate is curvy. It will curve up heading to the middle finger. Now, some people may be looking at their hands, and mine right now, I have a passionate, but it starts to make a curve towards the index finger, but the trajectory of the curve is pretty steep, and it clearly is heading towards the middle finger, even if it's trying to make a little break over to the index finger at the end. If you're a passionate type, you're fiery. You can be intense and volatile and have strong reactions. If you feel it, they're going to see it. You do not keep your feelings to yourself. And it's very me-oriented. In other words, you're going to take care of yourself first, and you're going to expect others to do the same. A passionate will know his or her wants. They require passion. They like excitement. They don't like to be bored. And they will pursue their wants. That's their modus operandum. And their greatest trait is their enthusiasm. They can walk into a party and light up a room. Are you being that? And I say that most women go over to this part of the big heart because when we're raised as little girls, we're told to just, you know, behave and not be too crazy and don't get too wild and, you know, be pretty and just keep yourself appropriate. But when I talk to women and describe this passionate, tears come to their eyes. because they've been holding that part of them back so long. And it's all a matter of balance. In this world, we talk about the Goldilocks rule. Too much, too little, just right. You can be too much of a passionate, and that means you are going to be all about you. You are going to be too selfish. And you want to learn to balance that so that you can show consideration for others. And when they have needs, you know, you can help them. You don't have to go overboard, but you can be there for them. And then you can pull back and take care of yourself as well, still being passionate for another person and being passionate for yourself. So we want to look for that balance. And as my examples that I always give, Julia Roberts in Erin Brockovich is a passionate type. Madonna in the movie Truth or Dare, or her in general, is the passionate type.
Yes.
Right? I mean, this is a woman who is outspoken and just puts herself out there. Now we have something a lot less that I referred to earlier, a lot less out there, is the hermit. The heart line starts under the pinky, and it travels straight, and it ends underneath the middle finger. Sometimes there's a gentle curve to this one, which makes that hermit a little bit more sociable and a little bit more out there, but that gentle curve does not get up to the middle finger. So if it's not reaching the middle finger and it's just a gentle curve, but it ends in the area of the middle finger, you're the hermit type, very earthy. Hermits are slow to change. They need to marinate their feelings. If there's conflict and they're in the middle of something with somebody, you're not going to get them to express what they're feeling very easily unless they are fully clear about those feelings. So when they're not clear, they're going to walk away, and they need to just kind of marinate. They need to be by themselves and really think about what's going on inside of them. Then they can come out and have the conversation. Hermits can be very heroic and stoic. They're reliable, they're predictable, and they're incredibly loyal. Their dislikes are clinginess, which is why when that gentleman who is married to the big heart and she's all about clinginess, it didn't serve him very well until he really understood this was a needed thing for her. And then she knew not to be so clingy that he felt trapped, because that's the other thing with the hermit. They do not like to feel trapped. And their work is non-negotiable. Their freedom is a non-negotiable. So if you're married to a hermit, if you're engaged to a hermit, you need to know that they need their space and that they're going to show their feelings and their love by the things that they do for you. They're not necessarily going to display feelings unnecessarily. So an example is a John Wayne type or Jodie Foster, if you remember the movie Contact. You know, these are very focused people, right? Her just focused on what she's doing in her work, quite serious, but they're incredibly loyal. So if you've got a hermit in your life, appreciate all those things they do for you and give them their space. Now, too much of a hermit means that you're burying yourself in your hermit cave and you're not coming out for anybody. And as I always say, the hermit will say, put the sign on the door, do not disturb unless somebody's dying, bleeding, or it's a dire emergency. And if people know this about the people they're living with, they can give them that time and that space. And they, when they're not being too much, they'll come out in good time and socialize. Being too much is when they just kind of forget about everybody and they go into their work world and they don't stop, which is also what was happening with this gentleman who was married to this woman now for 32 years. He'd come home from work, he'd eat dinner, and then he'd go into his cave and he'd continue doing other stuff because he just needed to be alone after being with people all day at work. And that didn't really make her feel very good. So that's right. The overall component of a hermit. You got any questions you want to ask about
yes,
that?
Yes, I do, absolutely. And I love the Goldilocks. This is too little, this is too big, whatever, this one's just right. And so if you have big heart or you have passion and you also have the hermit, if you have several lines, then which do you follow? How do you know? I need my alone time, but yet I want to be touched and I want to be loved and how do you share that?
Because somewhere in you, one of these heart lines is going to probably outrule another heart line at any given point of the time during the day. Now, what I also want to say is that we all have components, even if you've only got one heart type or you've got two heart types, but we all have components of all four. So everybody can relate to needing their sanctuary time. It's just that there is an emotional part in you that you want to become very keen to and very aware so that you begin to honor it and step into it more often, because that's how you're going to end up fueling your engine, if you will, and keeping your cup full on an emotional level. And that's so key for us to be there for others. We've got to have a full cup. And I always tell women, I want your cup overflowing, so that you're giving from the overflow. You're giving from your deeper essence versus this fume area. And when you're giving from the overflow, that means there's always enough for you. So if you find that you have a hermit on one hand, and I just saw a hand today that came to me, there's a hermit on one hand and a passionate on another. So one part of her is fiery and really just out there with the feelings, and then there's that other part that's like, I don't know right now. So she just has to be clear what's really showing up in each moment. Now, depending on the hand, too, the right hand is our outer world hand. It's what we shake with. So the emotional style on your right hand is generally going to be the emotional style you show to people outside in the big world. The one
so
on your left hand...
Shake with, right away I went to the image of people doing the hokey pokey.
The hokey pokey, exactly. That's funny. Yeah. Put your whole foot in, your whole body in. That's right. So the left hand is internal. You know, if a hermit is on your left hand, big heart's on the right hand, people on the outside world are going to see you as this loving, giving, caring, nurturing person. Now I'm speaking to the big heart who shares their feelings easily. You can be a compassionate, you're a good listener, and you love those family gatherings. It's Mrs. C in Happy Days or Robin Williams in Mrs. Doubtfire. The big heart requires connection. So if that's on your right hand, and by the way, because I didn't explain where it goes, the big heart goes up to, curves gently up to the index finger. Okay, so if you're finding that you have a gentle curve, it's a much gentler curve than the passionate, which is a pretty almost intense curve going towards the middle finger. This big heart curve goes gently and finds its way to the index finger. If that's on your, if the hermit's on your left hand, that inner world, and your big heart's on the right hand, people see you as that big heart outside in the world. But it, at home, you're even with your most intimate partner, you're more in the hermit mode. Now you're like, I need my time alone. I'm not going to be as caring and giving naturally as I might be out in the world there. And that can create conflict because your partner could see you doing all of this for everybody else, but here you are at home and you're complete opposite. Complete opposite. But that's because this is your sanctuary and you feel like, okay, this is the part of me that needs to wind down and not be needed from anybody. So that's something that has to be explained. And then there has to be a balance again with that hermit at home. Make sure you get your sanctuary time, but make sure you're also there for your loved one, the person who wants you and loves you the most above all else. And just know that you want to balance this out a little bit so that they get the best of you and you can still give the best of yourself to yourself. And then we've got the last one, the romantic idealist. Another straight line. It starts under the pinky, it goes straight across the hand, and it stops underneath the index finger. Because it's straight, like the hermit, it feels a lot, but it doesn't display their feelings all that much. And as I said on your show yesterday, Nicole, the person with a romantic idealist will think about how they feel, and we discussed turning this into a rap song. Not a bad idea.
I thought about that this morning. I just woke up laughing, and I thought this would be a great rap song. So.
We'll work on that. So the romantic idealist really is the most, their best trait is their consideration. They're incredibly considerate of other people. And they dislike conflict. They will avoid conflict at all costs. So what will end up happening is when they are in the too much of being the romantic idealist, they can edit everything that they're thinking so that they make sure what comes out of their mouth could not possibly hurt another person. And so then there becomes this no request for self. Now you're not willing to speak up for what it is you really want to do or have to say. So if you're in a group of people, maybe with a bunch of girlfriends, and they're all deciding where to go to lunch, and everybody's throwing out ideas, and you're thinking, oh, God, I'd really like to go here, but I don't want to cause any waves. So if they ask me, I'm just going to say it doesn't matter. I'll do whatever the group decides on. Even though in your heart of hearts, you really, really do have an opinion. But the idea of causing any kind of conflict is too painful when you're in the too much of it, and you're going to keep peace at any cost. Now, when you're on the other side of that, on the other side of the spectrum, and you are being too little, you actually go into drama. You get caught up in drama. You get caught up in the stories. You tend to defend yourself. You can tend to go into gossip. And nobody's happy then. So we want to get to that just right place, which means that you take what you want into consideration. You learn what your passions are, and you're willing to express them. Because the truth of the matter is, with any of these heart lines, the passionate, the hermit, the romantic idealist, the big heart, when you're being the just right type for your heart line, it's an automatic way of connecting with people in the most authentic way, and people love you when you're in your most authentic way. They appreciate that part of you, and it gives you such greater empowerment, if you will. It gives you the ability to really be there, not just for yourself, but to let others know how this is going to work in your world, in your relationships. You are literally setting the scene for what your relationships are going to look like when you know your emotional style and you honor it just right.
That's amazing. I mean, it's so luscious even to be able to think that we have this roadmap that tells us the divinity of our heart, or verifies, mirrors what we already know or what we already see or what we already feel, and gives us permission to love the way that we know that we want to love.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the beautiful thing, that when you're in partnership, whatever that partnership looks like, even with friendships, I mean, I've found it to be remarkably freeing when I've discovered certain things about my friends after looking at their hands and understanding them now at a level that I never understood. And now all of a sudden what might have annoyed me in the past no longer does, because I'm like, oh, my gosh, they're just being who they need to be, and I want to honor that in them. I don't want to squelch that, much like any of us, and I have two passionates, along with a few other heart lines there, but the passionates run me. That, there's no question. But, man, until I knew that was my innate emotional style, I did a really good job being more of the big heart. And there were a lot of times that I was resentful, because that's what happens with the big heart, or with the passionate. If it plays the role of the big heart, or if you're a big heart and you are being too much of it, you eventually will get so upset with being there for everybody and nobody really being there for you because you appear as though you don't need it. You bury your heart and your head in the sand until you've been away and you didn't have the connection. You're done with not having connection because you need connection, and then you come out. But I want people to not have to bury their head in the sand. I want people to not have to hide their passion itself. I want people to be given permission to say, I need to leave this conversation because I don't know what I'm feeling, and I want to get my thoughts clear, and not have somebody say, but, we need to discuss this. Okay, we will, but I can't just do this the way you can, which is what a passion will do. Passion will be like, no, let's get this out here now. And then the hermit will be like, I need time. And when you know that about your partner, about your friend, about your mother, father, whoever, now it's so much easier to honor people where they stand, who they are. And honestly, I swear, Nicole, as silly as this sounds, for me, this ability is like changing the world one person at a time in terms of creating peace in the world. That's how I look at it.
That's remarkable. It really is. And I wanted to go back just a second when you were talking about gift markings, because I know we have a very emotional crowd listening right now. That you were saying some people don't have gift markings. And I'm sure people are like, but why? Why do I not have a gift marking? Or people that have lots of gifts and they don't know what to do with it. So could you just touch on that? Because I know all of our heart listeners out there are still thinking about the gifts.
Well, and that's why earlier I said not having a gift marking doesn't mean you're gifted. Here's the deal with gift markings. They come with penalties. So when you're not using, when you have a gift marking and you're not using it, you end up on the penalty side of it. So I will give you a really easy example. There's a gift marking called a HAL 9000 headline, named after the computer from the movie 2001 Space Odyssey. And the headline starts between your index finger and your thumb, and it travels from that area across to the other side of the palm. And it can be short. It can be very long. When it's very long and it doesn't have any weird markings on it and it's nice and straight, it's a gift marking. And it generally ends about 1/4 inch away from the other side of the hand, the flesh under the pinky side of the hand. That means that you have the ability to solve major world problems, big problems, if they're not going to be major world problems. I've talked to many who have this. They're often a researcher, a scientist, and it's always amazing to me when I hear that because they're really stepping into that and using that gift marking. But when they're not using it, and I've talked to plenty of women who have this and are not using it, what they do is they create problems in their personal life in order to solve them, and it's on such an unconscious level. So having a gift marking isn't always so wonderful if you don't know what to do with it. If you have multiple gift markings, and I've read for people who have had 10 gift markings, then it's like, okay, you can be paralyzed in your life because you have these innate gifts and you don't even know what to do with all of them. But there are generally one or two gift markings that are going to be the leader of the pack. And I look for those gift markings that jump out at me immediately, and those are generally the leader of the pack. So I'm going to speak to those gift markings, one or two of them, and then I'm going to check in to see how it resonates and what is this person doing in their life that is giving them the opportunity to utilize the gift marking. If they're not doing anything, we're going to talk about it, and we're going to find ways that they can start to implement it so they're not on the penalty side. And I always check to see, okay, you're not using your gift marking. Is this happening in your life? Are you experiencing this at all? Meaning whatever challenge goes with a particular gift marking. And inevitably they always say, yes, that's absolutely true for me, which is where that scientific empirical evidence keeps coming in. So having a gift marking, all that means is it's something that you came here to work on using. Not having a gift marking doesn't mean that you're not capable of doing the same thing that somebody who has that same gift marking can do. It's just that you, if you don't keep doing what you're doing, you don't have a penalty to deal with. So believe me, when I learned I only had two gift markings, I think it was maybe three, maybe two, but I was in a group of people in my class that had 7 and 10 and one person had 13, and I started to feel bad about myself. Then I realized how difficult people's lives are with all those gift markings. And I thought, oh, I'm liking the fact that I only have a couple of gift markings to deal with. So do not feel bad if you get your hands red and there's no gift markings that are mentioned. Know that life can, on many levels, be much more easy for you. And when you have the gift marking, well, that means you're supposed to be using it, and we're going to find a way to have you use that in your life. Whether it's in a career, whether it's personally, we're going to find a way, because you're going to be so much happier for it.
That is beautiful clarification. Thank you so much for that. And I'm sure people are now stopping, knocking their little hands and feet on the floor. They're like, oh, okay.
Well, I hope so, because here's the other thing. There's no bad news in the hands, and that's so important for people to know. There's no bad news. All it is information that can help you rise to an occasion of yourself that you might be struggling to get through, you know, especially when you know what your life lesson is. That life lesson, like when I do partner readings, our life lesson is our blind spot. It's when we hear it, we don't even understand it sometimes because it's the most challenging piece in our life to exalt, because that's the whole purpose. Once you know your life lesson, you're here to do whatever you can to exalt it and make it part of your life purpose. And when you do that, wow, you know, sound the horns, because it's like, oh, you know, the clouds open up and the sun rays come down, and it's a magnificent life you now start to lead for yourself. But it's not to say that you're not going to get challenged throughout your whole life with these life lessons. It's just that when that you know it, and then all of a sudden something happens in your life and you go, oh, there goes my life lesson. Well, I never got more than I can handle, so I wouldn't have come into this lifetime if I couldn't handle this life lesson and if I wasn't ready for it. Is it scary when you hear it and you start stepping into facing it head on? Absolutely. And I even have a client who I actually just finished up long-term coaching with, and at the very last session she said, now could you explain my life lesson to me still, because I'm a little confused. And I said, I know. It's the hardest piece to really wrap our heads around and to not want to run away from, because it's what brings us some of the pain that we experience, and it's what keeps us stuck and feeling like I'm never going to get to the place I want to get to, or I'm never going to have the relationship I want to have. And so often when we know our life lesson, it shifts how we can be in our relationships. It's magnificent, especially if you've got a life lesson around family and community, or you've got a life lesson around powerlessness, or you've got a life lesson around communication and intimacy issues. And those are all specific life lessons, depending on where they're showing up on the fingers. And when you know them, you will, as blind spot as it is, there's a piece of you where it feels a little bit familiar, even though it's hard to look at.
Fantastic. And then how does somebody work with you? Can they, I know that for me you took imprints of my hands and then you read them. And I believe that there's a place on your website where they can get a kit and actually send you the imprints of their hands. And you work with people internationally, because I would love, we have people on this call from Malta and South Africa and from all over the world and across our nation. And I know people are just biting at the bit saying, how can I do this? How do I work with this incredible woman?
Really easy. Everything I do is, with the exception, well, I got to go to your house because you live close enough to take your handprints, but 90% of the time I don't have people close enough. So I'm sending out an ink kit directly to their home or office, wherever, and with instructions. And on my website, there's a particular part of the website you go to where you can watch me doing a video of my own hand so you can physically see it happening for those who are more visual. And you send the prints back in a self-addressed stamped envelope, and then I, you know, look over them, and then we get on the phone, or we can go over Skype if you're out of the country and we want to do it that way. I did that with a client in Malaysia. And you go to my website at yourheartisinyourhands, with an S at the end of hands, .com, and you can look under hand analysis. It's right there on the left side of the menu, and that takes you to the hand analysis page that tells you all the details. There's testimonials there, the cost, and then you can just click on and order. And once I get that information come to me through via the my email that I've gotten somebody who just purchased a hand analysis, I send out the ink sheets, and that's really all it is. It's just ink sheets with the instructions, and you get the ink off with olive oil or canola oil. It's very easy, and that's that. And it's really so simple and so non-technical that it's a beautiful thing, actually, so that it doesn't matter where we are in the world. We can work together anywhere. Nothing is going to stop us from being able to read somebody's hands, and that's what's so beautiful about it.
Oh,
and they can also email me at linda@yourheartisinyourhands.com. And any questions they have, they can shoot me an email or call me 310-375-4800, 310-375-4800, and I'm happy to answer any questions they have.
That's great. And I have somebody with a question right now for you. Hold on one second.
Okay.
Hi, this is Nicole. Who am I speaking with?
Patricia Sill.
Hi,
can you hear me?
Yes,
hi,
absolutely.
Nicole.
Oh, so happy to hear your voice. So you actually know a lot about hand analysis, so I'm so glad it's you on the call today. And do you have a question for Linda? I mean, she's amazing with all of this. And I know that this is just such incredible work and such an incredible journey of the unfoldment of the who we are.
And I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name.
Hi, Linda. I'm Patricia Sill calling.
Okay. Hi, Patricia.
Hi. I just, I wish I could say I knew a lot. I'm on my way to learning this system. I just took a weekend workshop with Beth Davis. Do you know Beth?
I do.
And they found out that I have two gametes on my hand.
Yeah.
One is on the mound of Venus.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious about that because they said that they had never really seen two gametes
on the
Have you ever seen that before?
I haven't seen gametes on the palm of the hand. Gametes certainly. And what we're talking about, for those who have no idea what we're talking about, Patricia's talking about a fingerprint. And sometimes fingerprints can show up on parts of the palm. And depending on if it's a higher-ranking fingerprint on the palm, it will be the part of your life purpose. But she's talking about a gamut, which is where you've got this weird fingerprint that isn't – there's four different main components to the fingerprints. There's the whorl, there's the loop, there's the arch, and the tented arch. They all look different. And sometimes you get a fingerprint that you're like, what the heck is that? And you can't give it a name. And so you literally – when there's a gamut like that, you actually don't even count it. You just kind of throw it off to the side and deal with the math behind, instead of 10 fingers, now you're going to deal with 9 fingers and kind of shift things around for yourself. But no, I have never seen a gamut on any mount on the hand. And so what they can say about that is questionable. I would throw it out myself. I wouldn't give it a whole lot of attention because I would put more into what was showing up on your fingers and how that – were there any gametes in your fingerprints? I mean, on your fingertips?
You know, all I can remember was that there was a gamut on the mound of the moon, and they didn't throw it out, actually. They created a whole new school. You know, there's the school of wisdom and peace. And love and service, and they created a new school, and we called it the School of Individuation. And being that it's the mound of the moon, they said that my unique talent would be to help people understand their identity on a very deep level. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does. I don't know that I would give it a school name. I don't know that I would, because I am so in my scientific need this evidence stuff, I'm not going to create something that there isn't more and more of that out there. And if it makes sense to you and it feels right to you, that's fantastic. But anything in the moon is going to be about that depth of internal searching and imagination and dream and having kind of like the whirl in the moon being that spiritual teacher. So I don't know that I would have done it the same way, but everybody's different and it doesn't make it right or wrong. I would want to look at all your other fingerprints and see what was showing up there, and I'd want to look at the hand as a whole. But if it feels good for you, then it works, you know, but I'm not going to make up another school for just something like that. That's not something I would do, but that doesn't make it wrong.
That's right.
I do remember, Patricia,
because
you got two of you are talking. Sorry.
Okay, I was just asking Patricia if she remembered if she had any gift markings.
I do. I have a writer's gift marking, and I know that there is a penalty if you don't fulfill on the gift that you're given.
Right, that's what I was speaking about early. Yeah, and
yes.
You know, penalty, there is a penalty. And I use the word penalty with quotes around it because it can really put people off. And there's always a challenge. It's more of a challenge because it you're going to find struggles in certain aspects of your life that are correlating to that particular gift marking. And once you become aware of it, Had you been using your writer's marking?
Not to make any money. And I've always felt that there's a book in me somewhere. And at some point, I'm probably going to birth that. But I think it's interesting because I also have, I know this is a little bit outside of the field of the conversation today, but in my astrology, I have a grand cross. And it's a cross to bear, but at the same point in time, the purpose of that was to individuate and to cause me to be able to individuate from my family so I can belong more to the gifts that I give to the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was quite interesting that another system kind of came up with the
right.
same orientation. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you a question, Patricia. Do you happen to have any peacock fingerprints on your fingers?
I do.
Yeah, that's where that individuality comes from. Whenever we have those peacock fingerprints, it is the need to stand out. That's why they call it a peacock, you know, where they splay their feathers and they're so beautiful and they're going to stand out and show themselves. You do have that aspect of that individuality, and I would have certainly, that's why I asked if you had that, the peacocks in your fingerprints, based on the fact that they gave you this school, if you will, with the gamut being in the moon. But it is, for me, it becomes about, and do you know how many you have, how many peacocks you have on your fingers?
I believe I have 3.
There it is. That, you know, that's a lot. And so that would make sense that it also matches. I don't know much about astrology. No, that's not true. I don't know anything about astrology, actually. I just don't study it. But to know, to hear that you have that, it's beautiful when you have two completely different processes that are validating each other, especially around your individuality. So your 3 peacocks, no question, no question, no question, no question, put you in that individual, got to do my own thing, and it's got to be different. And if you're got the writing involved there, know that your writing is not going to be like anybody else's. I mean, we can say that for anybody, but yours is going to be so uniquely different that it's really going to, it would stand out. And you have to then have the courage to step into that role of your, for yourself. And sometimes we don't. We want, you know, then we're afraid of getting arrows shot into our butts, if you will, with such individuality request of ourselves, if that makes sense to you.
Yes, it does. And I've got a question for you around because each finger is like the Saturn finger, the Apollo finger, you know, so these different fingers are related to astrology, astrological phenomenon. So I would assume that you must take into consideration some of the astrological meanings behind what the Saturn finger is. Or
yeah. First, I want to check with Nicole. How are we on time? I know that
we're actually very close to the end. And Patricia,
yeah.
What I would suggest that you do, because Linda is amazing, is contact her directly. She's worked with me, and I can tell you she is incredible and so clear and so knowledgeable and so insightful. And I was blown away by the information she shared with me. And so, you know, go ahead and I'll make sure that you have the information and you can get the information from the show. And you send her your prints or whatever and let her continue on with you, because I think it's a wonderful conversation to have. And I'm so glad you called. And Linda, again, thank you for being with us today, for the wealth of information that you have. And I know that through this process, we know how to love ourselves and our spouses and our family in a deeper way, in a clearer way, in a more compassionate way, in a way that really can bring the intimacy into play and the understanding and the love of the heart. So thank you so much. And one more time, just tell us your website once more.
Yourheartisinyourhands.com. And thank you so much. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. And Patricia, for your questions.
Absolutely.
Oh, thank you.
Patricia, thank you for being with us. And Linda, thank you again. And we so look forward to having you back on the show. And this is Nicole Brandon and Linda Salazar wishing you that all of your hopes and wishes and dreams come true. The happily ever after is meant to be yours. Nicole Brandon with Hourglass Bride. And we look forward to having you back here with us next week.